He says, so go with me to Matthew 7 verse 21. Matthew 7 verse 21. I want you to listen to this. And as I said, this is a very important message that I'm preaching. I want everybody to listen. It is very important. It is a verse that has been taken out of context. It is a verse that has been misunderstood by many. It is a verse that, and in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I want to touch or work on this subject. And it is spirit-led. It is led by the Holy Ghost. I got this just before the lockdown started. But then God began to speak to me a lot about it last week. And I had to change this weekend's thing. Say with the unsaved Christians. So the mannequin Christianity.
Mannequin Christianity.
So, unsaved Christians, there is a lot, trust me. Are you guys with me?
Yes, yes.
If you're watching right now, I want this message to pierce your heart. If it's a lot of shouting and hallelujahs, then I'm not doing my job today. if it is silent, I will be doing my job today.
Amen.
So it'll be more of a surgical message,
yes,
than what it is anything else. So, and it is intended for that. Don't walk out there and say, "Oh, you know, that Prophet Leon is just religious or self-righteous or legalistic." No. You need to hear this.
That's right.
Matthew 7 verse 21. Let's go to Matthew 7 verse. From 21. Let me read this to you. Not everyone. Say with me, everyone.
Everyone.
Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So he says, look, there are those who call me Lord. They will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does, say with me, do.
Do.
Say it again, say does.
Does.
There's many people who can sit in a church service, or they can read their Bible. They can read, but they don't do.
Sure.
They can listen, but they don't do.
Yes, yes.
Are you guys with me?
Amen.
He says, he doesn't say, but he who hears the will. No, he says, he who does the will of my Father in heaven. He's the one that will go in. Verse 22. Many will say to me, in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, casted out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I think one of the greatest or most fearing statements we can hear in churches is, I never knew you. Or where he speaks about the servant that wasted his talents. And he said,
yes.
You unprofitable servant, go and you're good for nothing. Go into outer darkness.
Sure, come on.
That was Jesus' answer to the servant that didn't work on his gifts in him and the talents, the abilities that God has given him. Meaning you might be 40 years old, you might be 50 years old or 30 years old. What have you done something with the talent that God has given you?
Yes.
If you haven't, it is worse than losing that talent.
Sure.
I'm going to say it again. It is worse than losing that talent. Because the Bible says the other two, that were given 3 and 5, they took their talents and they made more. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
They multiplied it.
Come on.
Once you multiply something, you have a risk of losing it. You don't put money on a property or money in a business deal without everything in life has a risk. So meaning they took a risk before they could gain something. But because the one person was full of fear, the scripture says, because of fear, he went and hid the talent.
Oh, come on.
Are you guys with me?
Yes, yes.
He didn't want to take a risk with the security that he has. And what is happening in South Africa and why there's a shaking with many people is because their securities has been shaken.
Yes, that's right.
Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Their securities or their luxuries or life has been known. Everything was fine. I had a business contract. Yeah, maybe everything is good. There's a shaking. It happens. Now, I never went out to get 5 or 6 more. I only dependent upon one. Like there was a certain generation that was alive. They were all, and a wealthy generation. We called it old money. You know, I deal with a lot of people like that. One person wanted to take their own life.
Sure.
Because they worked on old money. They had a contract from 30 years ago. And that contract is still working. But they didn't look into the whole BEE situation and the lockdown situation. So because they only had one, fearful or maybe complacent to not needing to go get more or work harder.
Come on, yes.
They lost the one that they have.
Yes.
And somebody going from millionaire status to nothing, I've sat in front of them. Some of them would think it's better to take their life because then their family can maybe get something out.
Sure.
Are you guys with me?
Yes.
This is the reality, and this is in church. Because why? So with your finances.
Finances.
That is it. So, will prayer change your life? Many people have prayed and their lives hasn't changed, with all due respect. Personal relationship with God will. Will the word change your life? I've seen many people read this word and it does nothing to them. But there's one thing that the scripture says. It says money answers all things. This is not the offering message, but you can remember this when I take up the offering message.
Amen.
Yeah. So, but listen, let's be frank. You can have a prayer list, 100 points on there.
Yes.
You can have 99%. If I ask you to give me your prayer list right now, it might 100% of it might be fulfilled if you have finances.
Yes, that's right.
Except if it's one that is, I need salvation for this person. But then just because you get finances, they will reach out to you. And or they'll see how God is blessing you and they'll get saved.
Yes, that's true.
It is finances. Solomon, King Solomon, as unsaved as what he was, he had a lot of wisdom. He said these words. He said that money is the answer to all things.
Yes.
Money answers all things. He was writing the book of Ecclesiastics. Was it Sam?
Yes.
Solomon? Solomon. Writing the book of Ecclesiastics, saying what he feels matters in life and doesn't. And he says, this is in vain. This is in vain. In drinking, there's vain. In eating, there's vain. Having abundance and luxury, it's vain. Having too many wives, he says, is vain. He said, but one thing, money answers everything.
Come on.
Are you guys with me?
Yes.
I know it's not the normal preaching and we only have 50 people, but that is okay. That is okay. I want to get a teaching to establish you through that is going to help you and save you this morning. So never underestimate. God took finances so serious that he took away from the one that didn't multiply it and gave it to another one that did multiply it. He will give finances to those who have the ability to multiply
it.
And have the ability to take risk.
Come on.
And calculated risk, but they take a risk. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Those who are fearful, I just want to sit in my house, you know. I'm not here to preach to you. If that is you, you can leave the church. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
If you're saying, I just want to, you know, I've met some people, 20 years, they just sit on the couch. 20 years. Or 10 years, they just sit on the couch. Do you know what the Bible says about that? It says that you are worse than an infidel.
Sure.
That scripture says you are worse than an infidel. Meaning an infidel is put against a wall. A gun put to their head and shot dead. Paul said, work peaceably, but work hard. He said, I want you to work with your own hands. That when I come to you, that he also said, you don't put a burden on others and burden on the church. Meaning this, there are people and working with thousands of people. I've counseled hundreds of people. We minister to thousands every Sunday before the lockdown and will be post-lockdown. I would see people, maybe they're a husband and their wife is there, and the husband will just refuse to work.
Yes.
Now let me tell you something. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
A wife has never been designed to work.
Sure.
They can work, but God has never designed them to work. They have never been created to work. Are you guys with me?
Amen.
I'm not devaluing women here, it's the opposite I'm doing, okay? So don't take offense here. But a wife's makeup is not made to provide for the family.
Come on.
The Lord said to Adam, you are the provider, the progenitor. You are the one who sets the atmosphere, who cultivates the atmosphere. It's your responsibility to go till the land,
Yes, yes.
And when man doesn't do their responsibility, it ends up in women doing their responsibility.
Sure, come on.
And that's where you get a broken home or confused authority, because now the wife must still listen to the husband, but she's bringing more money in than the husband. And now it becomes a situation.
Sure.
Because God's order has been violated.
Yes, yes.
Are you guys with me?
Amen.
God has created the woman as a weaker vessel, not in a sense of value, but in the sense of anything else. They experience trauma more than men. They experience life more harder than men. So it is they're very sensitive. They have not been designed to bring in finances and to provide for the family.
Yes,
now
that's right.
They can have their work, they can have their identity. That's, we are in modern times, we are in these times. But I'm speaking about God's original intent. God's original intent, let me tell you, a woman wants safety. She wants to know that if she is, does she have a house to live in? Is there food? Is she and the children fine? Will they be fine if something happens to the husband? This is how they think. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
And when that is taken away from them, they become hard. Then they become independent. They become, they feel they there's a responsibility that comes on them that then that is not given to them by God. God hasn't given them that ability to fulfill that responsibility.
Come on.
Every woman, if I have to go to every woman and ask her, do they want to work? They'll say yes, yes, yes. But if you really go in deep, do you want to be with your children? 99% will say yes.
That's true.
They don't want to work. That it was God's original intent. God made a man to work. Are you guys with
me? Yes.
He made a man to work. And that's why when men doesn't have work or don't work or by their own will, it is a great embarrassment to the family.
Come on.
So read me, where were we? Matthew 7 verse 23. Listen here. Then Jesus said, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Go back to verse 21. We'll not be long today. Matthew 21. Listen to this. Not everyone. Say it again. Say, not everyone.
Not everyone.
Who says to me.
Who says to me.
Lord, Lord.
Lord, Lord.
Shall enter the kingdom of heaven.
Shall enter the kingdom
Listen,
of heaven.
Not everyone. But these guys that he was speaking to. It goes on. Next verse. I want to read this again. If they will come to the Lord and say, but we have done all these things. We have prophesied in your name. We have casted out demons in your name. We have done many wonders in your name. These were people that could do supernatural power. They could do miracles in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I don't know. This wouldn't be the right crowd to preach it to. Maybe it's going over your head. Okay. If it goes over your head, you must gered word. Okay. You might just fall into this category. So just remind me again after the message. So listen. This means that these people were casting out devils in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, come on.
They are working wonders, they are doing healings in the name of Jesus Christ. Yet when they get to heaven, Christ is going to say to them, I never knew you.
Sure.
Depart from me. This is not a Christian that is backsliding. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
He said, I never knew you. Which means right from the beginning, when you came to me, when you gave your life to the Lord, it was done wrong already there.
Sure.
It was an emotional way of giving, not a genuine way of giving.
Come on.
80% of the church is like that. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
I wanna. Please, just help me that I can say this with you. Say a personal relationship.
A personal relationship.
I have preached on this. This is my message from the day that I got saved.
Yes.
If somebody doesn't have a personal relationship, what do I mean by personal relationship? There's evidences that they are a Christian. There's evidences. Meaning, you can take their Bible. Maybe they come to prayer meetings. They talk the talk and everything. But you can take their Bible. You open it at their house, we open it, you see highlights everywhere, you see script, you see them writing, this is what the Holy Spirit promised me, this is God's promise. There's evidences.
Yes, yes.
Or they meet somebody on the street, or they meet and they show love towards a person and want to reach out to them or lead them to the Lord. Evidences.
Amen.
80% of people don't have evidences of being a Christian.
Sure.
They are what we call a mannequin Christian.
Yes, yes.
They look from the outside as if the person has a Bible. Ignore the that, because this is how it is behind the scenes. So let's look at the Bible. Okay. They dress like a Christian. They shouldn't have dressed them like this. This is how Martin dresses. They should have dressed. They should have dressed them like at least like me, you know. And so let's assume. Let's assume he has Gucci on here, and he has Louis Vuitton, and he has billionaire. Let's assume he has all of that on, okay? It's relax. It's just a matter of time, and then you will wear it. Just a matter of time. And
oh, yes.
But I wanted him to I wanted him to be dressed in that. Because we can think of religion as, oh no, religion is this, you know, suits, old school. That's not religion. Religion is something that looks like Christianity today.
Come on.
But there's no power.
Yes.
I'm going to say it again. That type of church is long gone already. I don't know why people are still saying that's religion. That's gone. The battle we're fighting now are those who look like me or look like Pastor Chris, but they are not genuine.
Sure, come on.
They lack power. I'm going to get it now. Get to it now. Because inside there's nothing. They look the part outside. They dress the part. They talk on their social media. I thank God for this and this and this. They speak like Christians even on their social media maybe. They're always giving glory to God or this or that. On the outside, they look like a perfect Christian person. But if you're looking for an evidence, you realize, but wait, everything is real. But if I push, there's nothing.
Come on.
I mean, like John or Alessio, come here. You know, I just embrace some pain, but don't worry. So don't make it strong. Don't make your chest strong. Eh? So you know, there's like nothing there. But if I go like this, he reacts.
Yes, yes.
If I go like this,
yes.
I feel it. You know, I'm very sorry. If I go like this, you feel it.
Yes, yes. Yes, okay. I can feel it.
This person has nothing inside. So there's evidence that Alessio is alive. There's also evidence that he's not alive, but it requires scrutiny. It requires me to go a little bit deeper.
Come on.
Because I cannot just look on the outside, maybe as a microphone and he preaches or whatever it is. Maybe it's the Christian boyfriend that comes and picks up your daughter and you think everything is fine because he has a Bible in his hand.
Sure.
Are you guys with me?
Yes.
And I'm saying this because we encountered so many things in encounter. Okay. So say with me, fake Christianity.
Fake
or
Christianity.
Say it like this. Say unsaved Christians.
Unsaved Christians.
In the beginning of the year, the Lord said to me this, that there's mannequin Christians. I read an article about a plastic plant this woman had, but she thought it was a real plant and she kept watering the thing. And after a year, she still kept water, but there was no growth. And then she realized it was a plastic plant.
Sure.
Then I heard Pastor Marie in our offices did the same. She did she had a plant and she watered the thing every day.
Yes, yes, that's true.
Only to get to a realization, I don't know how long it was, but six months or something, I'm not sure. 6 months, and then there was, she realized, but wait, this is a plastic plant.
Yes, yes.
Now, first of all, imagine how you would feel. You'll doubt your mentality, your mental condition right there. Number two, you will, but that's how people are. Look, the Bible says we are washing them by the word. It is, how can I say it? Paul says, I plant. Apollo says, you water. But it's the Lord that gives the increase. But now imagine, I water here. I water and I water. But I'm watering on a plastic plant.
Sure.
Because the plant from the beginning was not saved.
Yes,
you know, where's
yes.
the scriptures? I'll get to the scriptures just now. Are you guys with me? And I'm going to show you how this happens and why it happens. This is why people can have no conviction out there. You see, if you can do something, let's say you do a business deal or you take some money that is not right, it means you have no conviction. Your conscience has been seared. It is already a sign that Christ is not operating inside of you. Because once he comes in, you have the word inside of you. You might not know it verbatim, but when you speak, the word can come out. There's other fruits that'll come out.
Yes.
Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Fruits will begin to grow. It'll come out. There is evidences. Otherwise, we are stuck at a place of mannequin Christianity.
Sure, come on.
Mannequin Christianity. And there are mannequin Christians in the church today. When Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. He was speaking about people that never got saved in the first place.
Come on.
But they had an anointing upon them.
Yes, yes.
They had power upon
them.
They could cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. If they were here today, they could take this mic and preach to you and prophesy to you.
Sure.
They can go plant churches. Are you guys with
me?
Yes,
yes.
Why? How can they be anointed and be unsaved? How can they do that? Well, Balaam's donkey, you know, prophesied. It was Balaam's, yeah, Balaam's donkey prophesied. And the Lord spoke through the donkey. How many of you know that, as we have many times done in our conferences or so, we'll give a piece of cloth,
yes,
and the anointing is in there. We had people, they'll take the cloth, they'll just leave it at their houses. Somebody would come and just pick up the cloth, and as they pick up the cloth, power of God would,
yes,
fall on
them.
Yes,
that's true.
And they would begin to get delivered. Not thinking it's a normal cloth. This is not a pre-suggestive things. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
They think it's a normal cloth, and as they touch it, the demons begin to come out. Because the anointing can be carried in a cloth.
That's right.
They laid cloths, handkerchiefs, on the body of Paul.
Yes.
And took it from there and laid it upon the sick and the dead and the lame and the demon possessed, and they got set free.
Come on.
Now, if the anointing can carry a cloth, that's why the outside of a mannequin can be, I mean, if the anointing can be in a cloth, that's why the mannequin on the outside's clothing can have the anointing. Number one. Number two, once they are in an anointed church, or that has an office gift, whether it's apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, usually as apostles and prophets, we can impart to them. And when we impart to them, they move in the same gifts as us.
Yes.
They will prophesy like us. They'll cast out devils and heal the sick, but they might not be saved.
Sure, come on.
That is why God will hold me accountable if I impart to somebody that I shouldn't.
Sure.
Are you guys with me?
Yes, yes.
You can just rub, you can be my enemy. And you can be in a corporate anointing. If the glory comes down, you can be in a corporate anointing like this. And you can actually go do what I'm doing, and you can be my enemy. Because you've rubbed off in an atmosphere. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
It's got nothing to do with the heart. The power of God has nothing to do with the heart. We see right out scripture, even Saul, when he was found in the company of prophets and he began to prophesy. Saul himself, Saul the king, the wicked king, he came amongst the company of prophets. The Bible says the spirit of the prophets came upon him, and he was turned into another man, and he began to prophesy. And you see an event where he's again with a company of prophets, where he falls on the floor, takes off all his clothes, and like an animal, naked, going on the floor, prophesying.
Sure.
That is when we have the gifts without character.
Sure, come on.
Or the anointing that is strong in a place without character.
Yes, yes.
You will embarrass yourself, and you will embarrass the church you are in.
Sure, come on.
Are you guys with me? So that is how people are deceived by gifts. And they say that this person have this gift, that person have that gift. What character do they have? What is their family speaking about them? What does their wife and their children say about them? Do they really pray if they say they pray? Or are they really close to God? Do they really talk nice to them or not? Does he get home and beat them up or scream and be angry at them? Mannequin. Say with him, mannequin, Christianity.
Mannequin.
So I want to get to a place. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And I must finish. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 verse 5. Go for me, read for me from verse 1. Read for me from verse 1. Lendros. Verse 1, it says this: but know this, that in the last days, say with me, the last days.
The last days.
Perilous times will come. Please understand, the last days is not something we have to think about or think, you know, are we now in the last days? Are we going to be in 20 years? When Paul was speaking, he was giving instruction to Timothy. He said, you're already in the last days, Timothy.
Sure.
These things are already. Why would we warn Timothy about something that hasn't come? You know, it's common. You must read the Bible with some logic and common sense sometimes. But know this, that in the last days, remember, when did the last days start? Acts chapter number 2. When the Bible says, in the day of Pentecost, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. In the day of Pentecost, there came a mighty rushing wind as they were all gathered in the upper room, 120. And flame of fire of tongues sat upon them all. And they're all praying in tongues. Then Peter got up and he said, this is the day that is fulfilled by the prophet Joel. that said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Yes.
Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams and your young men shall see visions. And even on your men servants and your maid servants, I will pour out my spirit and they will prophesy. But Joel says these words. He says, in the last days, say the last days.
The last days.
I will pour out my spirit. When was the outpouring taking place? Acts chapter number 2.
Come on.
So the last days started at Acts 2. Are you guys with me?
Yes, yes.
So any moment from Acts 2 until where we are living right now, Jesus could have come back already. Any moment. And if we are still alive, it meant he hasn't. And Paul said we must always live with a life to know that it can be soon. That day can be soon.
Yes.
Because in his lifetime, it was soon. He would say it was soon. It could come as a thief in the night right now. And he explained, and in fact, there's a promise and a command where we must eagerly wait for the day coming. That is in the scripture. But I want to explain to you this. When Paul wrote to Timothy here, and he said, in the last days, it was in the days that Timothy was living, and even more in our days, perilous times will come. The word perilous means pervert, dangerous times. Times that are so dangerous, it is deadly. If it sees you, it'll kill you. For men will be lovers of themselves. Say with me, lovers of themselves.
Lovers of themselves.
Not lovers of God.
Yes, yes.
You know, the Apostle Paul says, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. That I may know him. That word know means that I may gnosko him. That I have a sexual experience, just to put it out straight there. That is how intimate that word is. He said, I want to become one with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be in his presence every day. I want to spend time with him. I want to get to know him in the most intimate way that
yes,
there is.
Come
Please,
on.
I'm not speaking about perversion. I'm speaking just of the terminology that they used. That was the same word used as in the Jewish culture when they said that a husband and a man had sex.
Sure.
Are you guys with
yes,
me?
Yes, yes.
It's the same word, gnosko. Paul is saying, I want to know you by that way. I want to know you under the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering. He said, I want to have a personal, intimate relationship with you. When I'm in my room alone and I pray, I want the presence of God to be all around me. I want you to speak to me and me speaking back to you. I want you speaking to my heart and my heart speaking back to you.
Yes.
Doesn't matter where I'm at work, whether I'm at business or whatever I'm doing. I want to carry that relationship with God. Listen, there's one thing that sends a person to heaven. Say with you, relationship.
Relationship.
Because they say false repentance, which I'm going to get. I'll close it off with that. A false repentance. But let's carry on reading here. For men will be lovers of themselves, not lovers of God. Lovers of money, not lovers of God. Boasters, proud, blasphemous. A lot of people say, Leon is so proud, you know. In Kruisdorp a lot, they say. I walk with such pride and arrogance. You have pride. I walk comfortable. I walk in my identity. I know
Amen.
Exactly who I am. So don't confuse pride with identity.
Yes, yes.
Remember that when David walked up to the battleground with Goliath, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is taking out, that is cursing the armies of God? And what shall be given to the man that takes him out? He asked his brothers and the king. And the Bible says his brothers looked at him and said, why have you come here to us with this pride in your heart?
That's right.
No, he didn't have pride. He had confidence. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
He said, look, I have killed the bear. I have killed the lion. And my God will surely give this giant to me in my hands.
Come on.
I will take his head from him. And we see how Goliath began to go on the battleground, but to everybody he looked proudful. Listen, when you are anointed and you have confidence, only those that are higher than you in the realm of the spirit or the anointing that has gone further than you, and if they in the anointing or prophetic, they will say, no, he doesn't have pride. He's just got confidence.
Sure, come
those
on.
Who are equal or lower to you, when I'm speaking out of experience or in ministry status, they'll always say, oh, look at his pride. No, that's your pride.
Sure.
Not wanting to receive from someone. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
That's your pride not wanting to receive from someone. So listen to this. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. So he says these times are going to get worse and worse and worse. These signs, these things, it's going to get worse. You'll see, we're living in times where people are just disobedient to their parents. They don't care anymore. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderous. Just change for me here as well, please. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. So with these slanderous.
Slanderous.
They will accuse, they will slander, without self-control. Brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They love pleasure rather. What is pleasure? Anything that is nice. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Christianity is the, you know, how can I say it? If I, my flesh can get so strong. If I just give it luxuries all the time. If I go on a holiday, I will eat from morning to night. I will eat 3-course meals from morning to night. I will live in pleasure because I'm going on a holiday. But if I come back, my flesh is now stronger than my spirit. I have to kill my flesh.
Sure, come on.
For the spirit to begin to strong. You know, we think that we feed our flesh every day. And then we cry. We don't pray for 3 weeks. Then we cry. We say, God doesn't want to give me a breakthrough. You haven't read the word. Fed your spirit.
Yes.
Your spirit is being fed by the reading of the word.
Come on.
By prayer. Now your spirit gets big. If somebody does that for 1 month, they'll be a changed person. 2 months, they already might have a job. I'm really serious because it works on your identity. It puts the anointing on you. It grows your spirit.
Yes.
Are you guys with me?
Yes.
So lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Those are those that are saying, it's a Sunday. I'm going to watch rugby. I don't even know if there's rugby anymore. It might not be. I'm going to braai, you know. I'm going to braai. Having a form, this is what I'm going to get. Say with your form.
Form.
Of godliness.
Of godliness.
But denying its power. Listen to this. Say with me. Having a form.
Having a form.
Of godliness.
Of godliness.
But denying. Its power.
Its power.
And Paul gives a command there. He says, look here. These guys will have a form. The word form is metamorphosis. Where it's, memorphosis. Where it means that outside, everything looks perfect. Spiritual, religious. Clean, like they can walk the walk, talk the talk, and act the act. Are you guys with
me? Yes.
That if some minister that has no discernment, might not be prophetic, will look at this person, minus the cigarette, and this, will look at this person and say, I want to invite him to preach for my church.
Sure.
But they don't understand he's a lifeless human being.
Come on.
There's no life there. That is why when this one, he maybe has the anointing, he has a covering over him, an office. Like I said, you can have the anointing under encounter. Do things. It doesn't mean your life is right. You measure somebody, whether they are true or false, by the fruits they carry.
Come on.
Who are they producing after them? What are the works? And then the fruits of the Holy Ghost. So, you know, certain mannequins.
Mannequins.
This is a very, very important message. So please stand by me. Stand with me here. Having a form of godliness. Say it again. Say a form.
A form.
Of godliness.
Of godliness.
It describes, the word form says an outward religious activity. It means a shell with no substance. It means a perfect outside picture, but no substance. Are you guys with me?
Yes, yes.
No substance. When I invite people to come and preach on this pulpit, including Pastor Vlad, which I love him and he's a good friend of ours in the ministry. We've begun to become friends and I spoke to him, I think it was 2 days ago or so. But you know, even before I invited him, I would do one thing, two things, three things. Number one, I would listen how he prays in tongues. Then I can feel if he has weight or substance. Because otherwise, our people are going to destroy you. Rather, don't come on, okay? Number two, I then look at his family. And number three, I listen to how he speaks. Does his speech have weight and glory in it? Is there power anointing? Or is it as thin and, a person just, there's no weight? Are you guys with me?
Yes.
So there's substance.
Substance.
Look, when it comes to a mannequin, he has social media, everything is right. But you can walk into a mannequin. If they dress a mannequin right, put a hat on him, glasses and everything, you can walk into a mannequin and bump him. And you'll even say sorry to him.
Sure.
And then really afterwards, oh, it's a mannequin. Sure. Or you will not even realize it was a mannequin. There are mannequins in the church.
Come on.
Everything on the outside is perfect. They're taking photos with their husbands and their wives all the time. Or they take a photo reading their Bible all the time. I do that though, so. But anyway, they take photos reading their Bible all the time. Or they will come into church. They'll speak anointed words. They might even be the ones that are, I don't know, that they have e-group leaders, or they do, if one do deliverance on people, they have the gifts, they have the anointing. Everything about them is a Christian. They don't even have worldly friends out there.
Sure.
Are you guys with me?
Yes.
They don't have worldly friends, but they'll even go into the ministry. Cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead as those who did. And Jesus said, I don't even know you.
Sure,
who are you?
Come on.
Get away, you are not my sheep. There was never a change of heart. It was a fake change of heart. Which means the actual root is money.
Sure.
Or the actual root is approval. You have lack of identity. You just want to go find approval. Or you just want to scam or this. Or you just think maybe these things are fun, but there's no change of heart. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
I hope this is going to come through. Right, so when it says a form of godliness, having a form, a outside appearance but carrying no substance inside, in the Greek, that's what it means, empty on the inside. A form of godliness, the word godliness in the Greek means religion, piety, spiritual, anything that is in the modern day to become spiritual or religious, in a good sense, they do. But denying, say with you, denying. It's power. Deny means they resist the power of God. They cannot, if you have to ask them, I want you to come and pray with me with somebody. And it's a demon-possessed person. And I say, listen, I just want to leave you. Did you pray with them? I just need to go away. They cannot.
Sure.
They will deny the power.
Come on.
That the word deny there isn't in English how we think deny. The word deny there is that they are void of it. And they cannot do it. That's what it means, deny, in the Greek there. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
They deny the power thereof. And then the scripture goes on. It says, and from such people, turn away. Say with me, turn away.
Turn away.
The word turn away is atrepo in the Greek. It means to turn away in a physical form, in a spiritual form, in a mental capacity, in every sense, separate you from such a person. Because they're a mannequin Christian. They will fake everything with you. They will take your money even. They'll scam you. There are people in the church that are mannequin Christians. You know, like I said, next week we're going to get on the evidences of a Christian. What are the evidences of a Christian? And what are they and how can we find them? But they will trick you because everything, maybe they dress like a Christian. Everything. They have their Bible, even have maybe markings in their Bible. But they are after a girl in the church. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
That is normal. And we have seen it happen. I've seen young Christian girls and they go and sleep with a man like this.
Sure.
And then this one takes them out. I've been in ministry for very long and then that girl's life is destroyed.
Sure.
All because she thought he was a Christian. But now people can say, but you know, she thought it's her problem. No, she was beguiled into it. You know, a woman, let me just say this anyway. A girl will sleep with anyone, whoever they are, because that's just, they are a weaker vessel. I'm not speaking of rape. If they're in a romantic relationship and a man doesn't have a limitations, a girl will sleep with anyone.
Sure.
I don't care who you are. If this guy comes there to your to your house and he has Chris's hair, he has Richey's boss, you know, he's got everything about him. I mean, he's in E-group, he runs his cell group. He's built well. You know, he's one of the sons of Leon. he's got such a great future. And the father says, no, you know, date this guy. And he goes and he sleeps with her, makes her pregnant, and he disappears.
Sure.
That's just one little aspect. of what I'm explaining to the reality of it. Mannequin Christianity.
Yes, yes.
Jesus said they're so dangerous, they are not saved.
Sure.
Don't think you are helping a saved Christian there. They are not somebody who backslid and can come back to the Lord. They were not saved right from the beginning.
Sure.
How do I get to that? Go with me to Hebrews 6 verse 1. I'll close off with this. Hebrews 6 verse 1. I want to just show you there's a false repentance and a true repentance. And I'm just talking relaxingly now. Not preaching or full force. I'm just talking relaxingly. Listen to this. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. So Paul is speaking about the doctrines, and you know if you're in e-groups, we're doing this. Not laying again the foundation of repentance. So with your repentance.
Repentance.
The word repentance in the Greek is what we call metanoia. The metanoia means to make a complete turnaround.
Yes, yes.
From your old life, a complete mindset change from your old life. How can I explain it? It is a complete mindset change, a mental attitude, an intellectual decision to say, when you come and give your heart to the Lord, you then make an intellectual decision to say, I'm going to turn my life around.
Come on.
And you make a calculated decision, and you made a conscious, calculated, intellectual decision to say, I'm turning my life around and I'm walking into the other direction.
Yes, yes.
I'm changing things. That is, say with him, metanoia.
Metanoia.
Metanoia is true repentance. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Now listen to this. Go through to Matthew 27 verse 3. I'll close with this. Matthew 27 verse 3. Matthew 27 verse 3. Then Judas. Say with Judas.
Judas.
His betrayer. Seeing that he had been. Go through, put for me in King James. King James. Okay. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, Judas repented himself. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
And brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Now listen. He repented. Now if we read this Bible, we're going to say, but Judas also repented, so it didn't work for him. The word for repent in the Greek here, where it is Judas repentant, is what we call meta meloia. I'm going to say it again, meta meloia, something like that. Meta meloia.
Yes, yes.
Okay. What meta meloia is different to metanoia. It adds a part into the Greek word that makes it fully emotional.
Sure.
Not intellectual. So Judas, actual fact, in New King James, it says he was remorseful. So he became remorseful, but not really repentant.
Sure.
This is a person that always comes and tells you, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I won't do it again. I'm sorry. And then they leave and they go do it again. Stop saying sorry and just start doing what you're saying you would. It's an emotional repentance.
Yes,
so when
yes.
we do an altar call and 20 people getting saved here, there's a large contingency of maybe 50 people or so, 50% that made a metanoia decision.
Sure.
A false, fake repentance.
Come on.
It was emotional, remorseful. They felt guilty, condemned, and bad at that moment. And they were crying with crocodile tears. But they're not... they're going out. The other ones had a real... thing, they're also going out. Both of them are still going on with their own lives, because the one has to now grow into Christianity, but this one's foundation is not repentance. So he cannot, but he wants to be in church, but the foundation is not repentance. So there's no foundation to be built upon. The church is like silent. Are you guys here?
Yes, yes.
Are you guys with me?
Amen.
You know, if we do metamelomaya, if we do a false repentance, we become a mannequin.
Sure.
If we do metameromaya, a false repentance, we are not saved. This is the place where you can have Christians in hell. I do not believe a Christian can lose their salvation by lack of works. They cannot. You believe unto salvation, you repent and believe unto salvation. You can lose our salvation by turning away from Christ. I can lose my salvation. But then there are Christians that are in hell, because they were never Christians.
Sure, come on.
They're what they call unsaved Christians. They call the name Christians, but they are not a Christian. They become fashionable. Let me explain to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, it's Paul says these words. He says, some of them has even given their bodies to be burnt and martyred.
Sure.
But they had no love in their intention. And what they have done is in vain. He said there's martyrs, there's people who martyred themselves. Simply because it was the fashion of the day.
Sure.
It was the in thing of the day. So encounter has become a fashion and an in thing.
Sure.
Are you guys with me?
Yes.
In Centurion and in Krugersdorp. Krugersdorp, we've just started. But I'm not stupid. I can see. We made it savvy. We made it attractable, which is good. It has to be attractable to attract some fish. But some has fallen a trap for it where obviously you will attract all kinds of people. But we made it fashionable, but that people say, I want to be a Christian.
Sure.
But not with the right intention. Or that, or they don't do a full repentance because they were not given the condition of their soul. And they can't do a full repentance.
Yes,
are you guys
yes,
with me?
Yes.
Christianity became fashionable in 1 Corinthians 13 where Paul was speaking. And he said, look, people went and killed, martyred, put on the stake and burnt out of a wrong motive. Imagine you go and die for Christ and you're ending up in hell.
Sure.
He said, because it became a fashion. Modern day, it became a fashion. It became the in thing. So that's what happens here. And then when that happens, mannequin Christians.
Yes, yes.
Appears in the church. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Mannequin Christians are those that keep swearing outside. There's not one evidence of a Christian life in them.
Come on.
You don't hear them pray. You don't see them pray. You don't. I know prayer must be in the secret room. You don't hear them reading the Bible. You don't see them reading the Bible. The Bible is brand new. When you've still bought it for them, or when they still bought it for themselves, or others bought it for them, it is. There's no evidences. They don't want to come to church. If you are a Christian, you want to come to church.
Yes.
You want to be in fellowship. You
yes,
want to meet
right.
God. Plus, you want to meet people. These are signs and evidences. Do you carry the evidences of Christianity? Are you guys with me? So, go with me to, or not go with me, everybody in the room, let's just stand to our feet. I see we have a lot of people online. Maybe they enjoyed the message.
Yes,
there's
prophet.
A lot of people. Just stand with you to your feet. Just tell the next service will be 5 minutes late or so. Laske ebrodona mundos kebredana mayan. Just raise your hands wherever you are. Just raise your hands. I want you to raise your hands and close your eyes. Focus on Him. Yeah. Raise your hands and focus on Him. I want you to consider this. What I preached today, it was not power preaching or power ministry the whole time, but is our heart conditioned right to the place where we know we have metanoia? We have repented correctly. If we haven't repented correctly, we can change that at any time. You can just repent. It's not even, I'm not going to make an altar call or anything like that. You can just repent and God will know whether you repent or not. It's a genuine repentance. People can have a false repentance or they can have a genuine repentance. You will know with what I've spoken on today if it touched you in some areas and you feel that I'm guilty of that or I'm guilty of that. Yes, that is wrong in my life. Or we'll have evidences that I'm getting into next week. And don't be a mannequin Christianity, a Christian. You're doing all this time in church, in here, everything for vain. Everything for vain. A mannequin Christian is somebody that is not backslidden. It's somebody that has, it's not somebody that is backslidden, but somebody that was never saved at all. They think they know God, but they don't. Like I said, I have a lot of theologians attacking us on TV and all this stuff. And I made a statement once. I said, you know, I respect them because I believe they know the Bible. But I know the Word. The Word is Jesus Himself. I said, they might know the Bible, theology, but I know God. I really do know Him. They might pull apart the Bible or theology. I can demonstrate God if I want to. So, you know, pulling apart the Bible is not even an evidence. It is to know Him and then be able to carry that spirit and minister to somebody else. Those are now where we begin to get into evidences. Because a parrot can also read the Word. It's not about reading the Word. It's whether you're carrying it real. There's a heart change that happened at the moment of repentance. If that did not happen, you need to repent again. and make sure that it is real according to the message. If everybody that is watching online, our e-groups, our people, go to your e-group leader, go to your cell group leader, or go to one of our pastors and make this right. This is very, very serious. It's a condition that the Lord spoke to me about in before lockdown, that there are people that are sitting and they are not, there's no evidences of them that they are Christians. It's outside, you know, outside only. And they can quote me, they can even be close to me, they can do, they are not having evidences that they are spending time with the Holy Ghost. Now, if you don't have that true repentance, you're not going to be able to spend time with the Holy Spirit. You have to first repent. Then there will be now a hunger come when you want to spend time with Him. Are you guys with me? Raise all your hands. Pray with me. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty
those
name.
Those online, I want you to pray with me as well. Say it again. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly
in
Father.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I give you my life.
I give you my life.
I ask forgiveness.
I ask forgiveness.
For every sin I've committed.
For every sin
I ask forgiveness.
I ask forgiveness.
If my repentance was false.
If my repentance was false.
But this day I choose.
But this day I choose.
To do a true repentance.
To do a true repentance.
Metanoia.
Metanoia.
That there will be evidences in my life.
That there will be evidences in my
of
life.
Christianity.
Of Christianity.
That I'll be genuine and real.
That it'll be genuine.
It doesn't matter what will happen.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter who attacks me.
It doesn't matter
what happens with the country. I will serve you with a passion.
I will serve you with a
passion. In Jesus' mighty name. I give my life into your hands. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Come, let's give a praise offering, church.